Ross Cohen, welcome back to Radio Times. In the summer of 1984, Jane Golden and a group of young people from the Mantua neighborhood in Philadelphia painted a mural along the Spring Garden Street Bridge, a project of the anti-graffiti task force that was started under the Good administration. 30 years and three administrations later, the task force has become the Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia and is responsible for thousands of murals all over the city. The program, though, is more than about just painting murals. It involves collaboration with community groups, with Greaterford Prison, local organizations, and it aims to heal and transform neighborhoods. It's been hailed as a model for other cities. Joining us is Jane Golden, the executive director of the Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia. And Jane, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Also with us is Eric Oakday, and he's been working with Mural Arts for about 16 years. He's a working artist, a teaching artist. And Eric Oakday, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And Salon Smith is with us as well. He began working with, I guess, or getting involved with the Mural Arts Program when he was at Greaterford Prison, and he's now an artist with the Mural Arts Program. He's been out of prison for a couple of years. And Salon Smith, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Jane, let me begin with you and even go back 30 years. We were all much younger then, weren't we?
I know.
What do you remember of that summer project, this anti-graffiti network?
I remember wanting a full-time job with anti-graffiti so much. And, like, loving it. I just love being in anti-graffiti. I have so much respect for former Mayor Wilson Good and Tim Spencer because they started this program that was so innovative where, you know, they could have just painted out walls, right? But they said, we're going to give employment opportunities to kids who were writing on walls. And there was something about our office. It was pandemonium. It was sort of chaotic, and there were graffiti writers everywhere. But, you know, I'm someone who loved reading crime novels my whole life, so I felt like I'm living on the edge. And I'm also someone who loved art and thought about mining the social power of it. So it seemed like there was nothing but potential. And so I had this opportunity to work on the Spring Garden Street Bridge mural with like 100 kids from Mantua. And Wilson Good said, if you can do this in 3 weeks, I don't know, there was some deadline, you could possibly get a full-time job. So we just worked nonstop till 11 o'clock at night on the weekends. And then after 3 weeks, when the murals were done, he said, I think I owe you something. I'm like, yes, my job. And so I was paid $12,500 a year. My title was field representative. I didn't have a desk for some odd reason. I had an undercover police car that was dented. When you beep the horn, the trunk flew open. It was great. I loved it. But I was just so happy.
Well, I remember those days of graffiti, cornbread. I mean, there were names that I think we would recognize all over the city in the days of really a graffiti city.
That's right. It was what people referred to as a social epidemic. I mean, Marty, people thought graffiti would never go away. It was just something that people had given up on and had given up on the kids as well. So I feel so vindicated. The victory is so sweet because really our city does not have a bad graffiti problem. Many cities around the world do and call us all the time. And so many of the young people we worked with really got onto a positive path.
We were laughing before the break because I said you have survived four mayoral administrations, which is, not too many people get to do that. Well, what's your secret?
Well, my secret is I love being a city employee. I take being a public servant very seriously. Over the years, we've been able to make friends and allies and really, I mean, I feel like we're all on the same team. And every mayor has had strengths and gifts that we've been able to connect with. And they've had deputy commissioners and deputy mayors who we have been able to align ourselves with. But I give them all a lot of credit because there are cities everywhere in the United States and across the world that call us and they say, how did this happen? What can we do to make sure this happens?
Let me get our other guests in the conversation. Eric, you've been with the program how many years?
For 16 years
For 16
now.
Years. How did you? What was your interest in getting part of becoming part of Mural Arts?
A friend of mine had gotten me involved on a project that he was working with, and then I had met Jane not too soon after. And it's crazy to think in those days she was in an office in the middle of what's now the Phoenix, and no windows, really tiny, three people on the staff. And
broken
like,
table.
Yeah,
broken
right.
Desk.
Yeah. I can see it.
Now there's like 50, 60 people on staff. Right. There's always new people to
meet. Was it the idea of murals? Was it the idea of public art? The idea of working with communities?
It was the idea of being able to work that large, being able to paint with murals, but that evolved over time. And when I graduated college, I made the decision to stick with mural making because of the sense of inclusion and working with communities.
And you went to Tyler?
Tyler School of Art.
Okay. And majored in painting?
Painting.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Celine, this was a program that you, I guess, got involved in when you were in Greaterford. How did you find out about this program?
Actually, I found out about it in Greaterford, but I didn't actually join it in Greaterford. I wasn't actually introduced to it I came out on the streets to a program called 600 University. And they actually had an art program there, and they came and asked anybody if they wanted to join the art program. And I knew I had art in me for some kind of way because I actually cut hair for years. And it gave me, you know, some type of understanding about art, and I always knew I had it in me. So transitioning that into actually using it as a voice and as a to teach other people or to share a message through art was something that I actually wanted to do for a long time. So when I was introduced to it, when I came to 600 University and they had this origami class, and I was like, origami?
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I always wanted to learn how to do origami. And I actually went and I started the origami, and it skyrocketed from there. Like everything like I wanted to do, it just came out. It sprouted like a flower, and I just moved forward ever since then.
But it's so interesting that the cutting hair got you thinking
the
about
cutting hair,
art.
Being an artist, because I used to do a lot of hair shows, hair competitions, mm-hmm. and I actually won second place in Philadelphia in my shop.
Ah.
So it was like, I was really into art then, so it actually was in me, and it sprung out now. I'm like full-fledged now.
Go ahead, Jane.
See, that's what
you're about to explode.
I know, this is so exciting. I want to jump up out of my chair because Celine, what he's saying is what we see all the time. So our work, it's called Mural Arts, right? But it's community-based public art. It's really about transformation. And the last 5 years, our program has been on fire to make sure we're changing individuals and communities. So many young people in the city, people we meet either behind walls or just in communities throughout Philadelphia, are creative beings, and their talent has historically and sadly gone unrecognized. And we say, provide people with opportunities. It's about equity and it's about justice. And what we're doing is art making, but it's about so much more.
Well, even going back to you, Celine, as you said, you felt like you had the art in you. I'm assuming you've had training. You've been working with Mural Arts for a couple of years now.
Yes, it's like I've learned so much. There's a program actually with Mural Arts called the Guild Program. And once I went through the Guild Program, it taught me so much carpentry, mural making. It taught us a lot about everything. We had mock interviews. It taught us how to just be people and everything. So those little parts that I was missing, it filled in the blanks along with the mural making and understanding murals. And once I collaborated together, like I said, I just skyrocketed. Yeah. I skyrocketed.
And Eric, you said you were particularly interested in working in the prison program.
Yeah, I first got involved in Greaterford 12 years ago as an advisor to help them install one of their first murals. But I met the group, and I had mentioned to Jane that I'd love to work with those guys at some point, and I've been there for 10 years now. Yeah.
And what was the attraction for you?
I'd never set foot in prison before, and I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And then I met the group, and you know, we got to work together closely for 2 days, and you know, I learned a lot about the men in the class, and after the fact found out that most of them were lifers. So we're talking about what they plan on doing when they get outside, and then I learned that. Mm. And it really struck me, and it made me realize the sense of hope that everybody carries. And I like being able to do this because it kind of encourages and renews that sense of hope with the group.
And what was your particular interest in getting involved in a prison in Greaterford in particular?
Well, you know, when we became Mural Arts, it was like, okay, good news, newsflash here. We are a pro-art program. And I realized, like, there's a phrase being used now amongst curators and academics and activists called social practice. Like, we've always been a social practice program where process is as important as the product and teaching is important. And so we've always worked a lot with kids who have fallen through the cracks. And then we were made part of the Division of Social Services in 2003, 2004, 2005, thanks to Estelle Richmond.
Under Rendell.
And under former Street.
Oh, Street. You're right.
And Estelle suddenly had me at the table with the prison commissioner, Commissioner DHS, the health commissioner. And it was extraordinary for me. It was an incredible opportunity. And so we started working with kids who are truant and delinquent. And then we thought, how do we not work in prisons? The prison population in this country is sky high. So many people in communities are missing, or they've died because of violence, or they're incarcerated. Like, this is an issue we need to contend with. So we started working in the Philly prisons. Then I was invited to go out to Greaterford by an art therapist. And when we went out there, I realized so many of the men were from Philadelphia, and they said something that has stayed with me to this day. They said, our lives went dark at age 10. If only we'd had an anti-graffiti network or a mural arts program, we may not be sitting here today. And I was like, oh my goodness, what can we do? And so they said, let's do a mural. So we started doing a small mural. Then I brought out everyone in our art education program to talk to them, and they designed what was like a a PhD thesis for us to think about different issues that could actually impact the kids we work with. And then they said, we want to do outdoor murals. I'm like, but mostly you're lifers. And then we thought, we could work on parachute cloth. And that's when we did Healing Walls. And we realized, you know what? We often think of people behind prison walls as being invisible, but they're not. And they, too, have talent. They have ability. They've been judged by a court of law. I don't need to do that again. I see everyone in terms of their potential. And they have kids and grandkids. And we want the message to be to their families, this might be my life. It does not have to be yours. And the more hope they have, as Eric so eloquently put it, the more hope their families have.
Celine, you were nodding as Jane was talking.
Yeah, because it fits my story in so many ways. You know, like, I just like when she was talking, like, when I was younger, if we had a place, a program like Mural Arts, you know, I would have had, or somebody introduced me to something that gave me some type of meaning in life. You know, I never had that when I was younger. So when I grew up, I never had a mentor. I never had nobody, a father, to show me around and teach me right from wrong. And if I had a program like Mural Arts that gave me what I have today, I knew I would have been a different person. I know I would have, because now, you know, I love to teach other people. I love to mentor kids. I love to go out and be involved in murals and know how to express my feeling through that mural, to know how to bring that out and deliver a message that's people can look at from 20 years on today. I love to be a part of that. I love that my name could be on this wall and that wall, a lot of walls throughout the city. And my son, actually, I had a son that passed away last year. I had the mural, The Family Interrupted, which was dedicated to my son. One dedication was to my son. And, you know, I love that. And I love that mural. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But
you can run the show. That's okay. No, I'm kidding.
And Celine's done amazing work, too, with the Guild, reclaiming spaces in the city, these recreation centers, that there's not enough funds to take care of them. But they're doing fixing up windows and doors and roofing and doing building. They're learning building skills and landscaping and then mural making and design. And it's really extraordinary.
Yes.
Yeah, we're almost having a break here. Eric, anything? And I do want to talk about Family Interrupted after this very short break, but anything you want to add to what either Celine or Jay?
It just makes me think about the population in my group, in my class at Greaterford. The majority of the men are self-taught artists, but I think with the exception of one or two, they all found this love for painting and creating artwork in prison. And it's being able to work with those guys, it definitely influenced me when I looked at how important it is with the work I was doing in Art Ed with kids from all over the city. But also it makes me see just the amount of potential and the amount of things that people are able to get done from behind bars.
Well, let's take that very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. That's Eric Oakday, who joins us along with Celine Smith. And they are artists with the Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia. Also with us, Jane Golden, the executive director, founder of Mural Arts, celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. 1984 was when it began. If you have traveled the city, you have seen these murals. We'd love to hear from you. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotime. At WHYY.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. In fact, I tweeted one of the murals earlier this morning that Eric was involved in, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
International House Philadelphia supports WHYY, an independent nonprofit dedicated to advancing cultural dialogue. International House presents the UCLA Festival of Preservation, a celebration of film heritage featuring 12 newly restored classic 35mm films from the UCLA Film and Television Archive, screening throughout the month of April. For specific titles, screening times, tickets, and information, 215-387-5125 or on the web at ihousephilly.org/UCLA.
When I graduated from high school in Indiana, I went off to college in the next state over and discovered a different world. It's a big, infinitely varied country. You may never get to every corner of it, and yet you'll be able to see it, feel it, meet people there through Morning Edition, NPR's weekday news program. Experience this country and the world on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, activists push for states to cut off water to NSA facilities.
We're not going to participate. We're not going to allow the use of our resources to the NSA to continue its violation of our rights.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen. If you know the city, if you've traveled its many streets, you have seen large, colorful murals. They are everywhere, thousands of them all over the city. The Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia began as an anti-graffiti summer project, and it's responsible for the murals. We're talking with Jane Golden, Eric Oakday, and Salam Smith. And again, we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Eric, if I can toss this back to you, and Salon, I want to hear from you as well. This is the mural called Family Interrupted. We're on the radio, so we have to describe this mural for our listeners.
The mural is located on Dolphin Street, right around Germantown Avenue, and the wall itself, it's kind of a strange formation. It's shaped like a W. There's four different walls, and the right side of the wall is kind of hidden from view. And when we brought this project to that particular site, it made me think narratively how interesting that could be. And the piece that's up front that's visible is the part of the wall that's the story of the family. And then the part that's the most hidden is the story of the inmates behind bars. And then the space in between is where those two intersect.
And it was a project between the community and the prison.
Yes. Yeah, and family members of those incarcerated and ex-offenders as well.
And you were involved in this, and I'm very sorry to hear about your son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
How was he killed, or how did
he
die?
Oh, no, he just passed away.
Oh, he just passed
it
away?
It was a newborn. He just passed away from SIDS.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
We're pretty good today. You know, actually, we have a newborn baby.
Oh, you do?
After that, six months
congratulations.
Now.
Congratulations.
So,
that's
a relief.
And how do you see this mural? What does it mean to you?
It means so much to me because my family was affected by the impact of incarceration. And the wall does depict it a whole lot because I was on one end and my wife was on the other end. And it was very hard for her when when I was incarcerated. It left her with so much bills, so much responsibility, no father there, nobody to raise the kids, nobody to be support for nothing for her. And it also, on transition, on the other side of that, it had me incarcerated, knowing that I wasn't coming home no time soon, and knowing that I was away from my family. I lost a job, I lost everything. So my family was definitely interrupted by the impact of incarceration. Mm. So to bring this out, my feeling and my emotion, and my wife also, you know, was involved in a lot of the mural too, a lot of just ideas that I had in my head, or just to be involved with that I shared with Eric, and pictures and everything, and that we took up the prison that he kind of involved into the mural. And it's like, it's a picture of me on the mural, it's a picture of my wife, and it's actually a prison picture too. So it shows that when my wife came to see me while I was incarcerated, and it's my son is on the wall, and then it's my daughter on the wall. So it plays a big part with me on that mural.
Do you go there and spend
I go there
time
a lot of time. I take my kids there because they will see it. It's like the Dr. J mural that they had that's been there for like 20 years. You know, the way we do murals, you know, it lasts that long. It's very durable. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that mural being there for the next 20 so my years. Mm. So my son will be older and a grown man can look back, and he will be able to explain to somebody the same thing I'm explaining to him today.
And is this mural represent your thinking, Jane?
Yes. And what's so important about this, there's a term that one of my colleagues uses to describe our work, and that's generative. Our work is generative because it's sometimes creating a community that wasn't there. It's training and employing people. It's bringing together the community and the artists. It's a lot about co-creating also. And projects like this are important because it's art is advocacy and activism. So we think about all the people incarcerated in this country and the people connected to them. And we think about poverty in America and the gap growing between the haves and have-nots and what's our responsibility. So a project like this brought together people who provide services with people who desperately need the services and gave them a voice. Mm. How often do we have our voices, our stories, our histories up on walls, big and bold around the city? We're like overwhelmed by messages from media all the time, commercials, buy this, buy that, vote here, do this. But when it comes to our own voices, sometimes that gets lost. And so projects like this are very, very important to us. And it's become a model of how we work. Mm-hmm. We did a project with returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan. The work we do around the environment. We're doing a big project around homelessness as it relates to young people in our city. So the people who are involved, they become activists as well. They are changed by this project. So transformation is happening at the site, on the wall, with the artist, with the community, and with the constituents together.
Well, you know, it's, and I'm looking, I'll get to you, Eric. In fact, I'll put this to you, Eric, because I'm looking at it. I mean, there are portraits here, and there are a number of messages. One of them says, my son grew up in the visiting room.
Yeah.
That was one that I sort of just glommed onto. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And going in with what Jane is mentioning, there's a tremendous amount of outreach and working with different partnerships and people that come together. And then we have these meetings and these workshops where people talk and give their testimonials. And it's, you know, how do you document all that? That's like a challenge as a muralist, is how do you get all that succinctly in one message? And what I started to do as a response was take audio of all of these workshops. I got permissions from everyone and broke them up into clips. I still have clips that I can go through.
Wow.
And I created a website, familyinterruptedproject.com, and we had mailboxes throughout the city where people gave submissions and stories. And I got all of those submissions and all of that audio, put it to the site, and then created QR codes that you can scan on the mural. There's 22 sites in the mural that you can interact with and hear audio of people talking. And
so see, it's really a living mural. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, another part that's so exciting about this is the community. There's several communities. It's the community of people involved, the community that's actually in the community at 8th and Dauphin. But the community is the entire city. And now, because of Eric's website, it's the country. And you have people commenting from all over saying, oh, this is so interesting. Oh, I would like to find out. I want to do it in my city. And on these mailboxes that we put in prison waiting rooms, in City Hall, and libraries, there was a note that said, there are over 2 million people incarcerated in this country. What would you say to a policymaker, to a politician, to a decision maker? And do we have your permission to use it on the wall and on the website?
I still had one of those mailboxes.
You do? In your house or
in
your apartment?
House, in my living room.
That's great.
Correct.
Did you paint any of this?
Oh, I actually started with this project from beginning
this,
to end.
This was kind of your baby from
all the way from the beginning to end. Wow. I was very relentless with this project.
Well, as someone who, I mean, I am such a terrible drawer, painter, my handwriting is terrible, but how do you do a project like this? Is it, do you project images onto a wall? Is it, I don't want to say paint by number, but right. how does that work?
Well, we work on a material called polytab cloth, and it's no different than the material in your shirt collars and sleeves, but it's perfect for paint. You can prime it just becomes a movable layer of paint. And it's because of that cloth, as Jay mentioned, that we can have programs in Graterford Prison. So my group in Graterford, we all co-designed this together, Salam included. My group in Graterford painted half of it. They painted the family portion from the inside. And then I was able to have the outside portion, myself and my assistants, and then the larger community would come out to paint days, where it is kind of broken down in a paint-by-number fashion.
Right.
So people can participate regardless of age or skill level.
And you're a pretty good painter now?
I'm an excellent painter now. thanks to Eric.
That was a leading question, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, I think thanks to Eric. Like, I learned so much from Eric. You know, I learned a lot of things about mural making, a lot of stuff that I didn't know. Any questions I ever had, he was always, you know, head start with me to make sure that, you know, I understood what I was doing. And it taught me a lot. It taught me a whole lot. I challenged myself, stuff that I never thought I could do. I never thought I could paint a picture. My wife tells me this all the time, you're better than you think you are. And I'm like, no, I'm not that good. I'm not a good painter. She's like, you're lying. You're great. And it's like, I always need that confidence. It's good coming from my wife, and it comes from Eric a lot, and I learned a lot from him, everything.
One of the guys at Graterford Prison, I remember, James said, you know, sometimes you just have to put things in kids' sight lines for them to think that it can, that something that they can do. And I always thought about that. There's so much wisdom that comes from that Graterford class that we incorporate into our art education programs. That's why we take kids to look at colleges and art school and trade school. And because I think that there is, you know, it's up to us adults to provide young people with every opportunity and option possible, and anything less than that, quite frankly, is really unacceptable.
I'm going to say one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
And you know, the guys of Graterford, I do want to say, you know, even though I wasn't in the class with them of Graterford, it's good that I still get to work with these guys to this day, because most of his class, I probably know almost, maybe not everybody, but I know almost 80% of his class. Yeah. I do know, and I have been incarcerated for a long time. So it's good to still be able to work with those same guys and transition out here. We could finish more. Like the same thing with the Family Interrupted. They did half, and we run the other half out here. Mm. We collaborated together, even though we never work together in the prison. It's kind of strange, but it's still good that we still
to collaborate over murals.
And this program has been funded by the Ford Foundation. They see it as a model, so these men are actually creating dozens of murals for schools and community centers every year.
Right.
Well, we are talking about the Mural Arts Program. It's been around for 30 years, celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. Jane Golden, founder, now executive director of the Mural Arts Program. Eric Oakday is an artist with the program. He's been working for about 16 years, working on a number of really beautiful projects, I have to say, teaching artists, working with artists. And Solon Smith, also with us as well in the last couple of years. He's been an artist with the program. And we are taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moscoen, and check out the tweet I did this morning because I took a picture of one of Eric's murals. It's just right around the corner from WHYY. I mean, Jim, what is your goal? And then I realize, you know, I hate it when people ask me those questions because I've never had a game plan, but here we are 30 years later, you know, thousands of murals all over the city. Other people come to the city to look and see what you have done. What do you want to accomplish?
Well, there are actually four goals, and one goal is not, to be really, really clear, to do another 3,000 murals. It's about doing projects that have depth and breadth and that are generative and transformative and continue to practice in public so that we just continue to take our programs to scale. We want to grow the reentry program, the Guild. I think we have like a 9% recidivism rate. The national average is like, I don't know, 66%, something Pennsylvania like 35%. We want to really grow the art education programs because we're seeing great success there. Our behavioral health work has been terrific. Under Mayor Nutter, our programs have really grown exponentially. So I think we're on a great track to use art to overcome stigma and connect people back to their families and communities. And we see it as a tool of economic and community development. I mean, our big civic engagement public art projects like the airport or Journey South or our restored spaces projects, Philly Painting in North Philadelphia. These are fantastic projects, really complicated, that bring together all the divisions at Mural Arts. But, you know, if you look at the airport, who worked on that? Yeah. It was classically trained artists.
And this is on the parking lot.
85,000 square feet. So people from the reentry program, art education, but classically trained artists. So it's an integrated model. And I just think that we're really onto something very special. And we're going to start a Mural Arts University to continue our training, internship programs, apprenticeship programs, a line of consulting services. Cities all over the world are interested in what we do. Mm-hmm. And we're about to announce soon a formal partnership with Moore College of Art, where we'll be the laboratory for some master's programs in that. Announcement is coming soon, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but it's thrilling.
But you heard it on Radio Times.
Yes, you did. And it's thrilling, and it just, you know, I just think that there's a real blueprint for us to move forward. And, you know, it's not just good for Mural Arts, it's great for the city of Philadelphia because it's clearly a city that cares about kids and community and the arts.
Well, and I guess artists as well, Eric.
Yes. I was just mentioning that I do a lot of work as a consultant and travel to other cities, and the number one thing I hear is that these artists develop in these cities and then they move to New York, move to Los Angeles. But in Philadelphia, there's a real opportunity to have a job in the arts that you don't really see in many places. And I mean, for me to say that I've been doing this for 16 years in this day and age is inconceivable.
Artist.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you said, Jane, before we went on the air, which was this is kind of a WPA. This is like the Works Progress Administration, mm-hmm. right? Of the Depression era.
That's exactly right. And as a fan of the WPA, because when I was little, my parents always talked to me about the WPA. So I was always intrigued and excited by it. And I think we're hiring every year 200 teaching artists, muralists, and assistant muralists. That's not insignificant. It's like $1.5 million committed to artists annually. So that's like significant. It's, you know, and I feel like this is a great city for artists. They're great arts organizations. There are artists everywhere. And the more we broaden our work, because it's not just paint now. We're doing ceramic, mosaic, stained glass, sculptural elements. We're working with video, photography, social media, because it's a public process. The more artists we can employ and work with, and that is so rich and wonderful. And they inspire us as we hope we inspire them.
We have an email. There are hundreds of fine artists in schools who aren't going to college. I'd like to see more active outreach to involve these students, but it sounds like you and others are doing it. But as we know, when budgets are tight, often it's the art and music programs that get that get cut.
I know. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. That's why we feel like we should do everything we can. And if you look at our budget, it's a small percentage. It's 30% city, and the rest is foundations, corporations, individuals, and earned income from the tours. Like, however we can do it, we want to mix it all up in the pot so we can do more things, employ more people. And our internship program is for college-age students, not necessarily college students. So your listeners, please feel free to go to our website, muralarts.org, and find out about opportunities.
Did you have art? I don't know if you went to school in Philadelphia. Did you have art? Do you remember art classes in school?
Oh, I never did art classes in school.
You never did?
No, I never did art classes in school. I got involved with art. Like, I just brought that out of myself. Like, it was something that was just always there, and no one ever gave me the advice or the word in it to just actually pull it out of myself. So, actually, that's why I said I thank Jane Golden for the opportunity that she created for the city that gave me the opportunity once I integrated back into the city. Or back into Philadelphia to give me the opportunity I have today.
You think you were ready? I mean, you were for probably a whole bunch of reasons. You were ready for this chapter in your life.
Yeah, because I'm always doubting myself. I think I'm my worst enemy. I'm always my own worst enemy.
Really?
And I doubt myself, and then I put stuff off, and I keep it locked inside me, and I won't tell nobody, and then I just keep going that way till somebody actually bring it out of me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say I thank Jane for the opportunity. For all her commitment to the city, her service to the city, that actually brings out the opportunity that gives not just me, a lot of the people, a lot of the kids that's out here today that came to the program that learned. I mean, I seen a bunch of kids that came that just had no type of morals, no kind of values, no nothing. And, once they go through the program, it gives them some type of strength or some type of ability to understand what it takes to be a man or a human being in this life, or what it takes to walk through your journey to get to where you need to get to. And, it's always taught through Mural Arts. It's not just about art. Like she said, it's way beyond art. That's what kind of attracted me to the program, because it's way beyond art. It's not just about picking up a paintbrush and putting paint on the wall. It's more to it than that.
Do you see it that way? I mean, as Salam was talking, I was thinking of, art therapy. I don't know if we can go that far. Do you see it that way, Eric?
Most definitely. And, you learn so much. There's a set of skill building that extends beyond the arts, for sure, as an artist. But in the prison in Greaterford, some of the guys in my class started an offshoot program in the prison's mental health unit, the MHU. And we're sort of an art therapy of sorts. I mean, we can't say we're an art therapy class.
Right.
But we're working with a population of men. It's largely transient. They serve prisons throughout the state and Greaterford as well. And then they serve people who are there because of there's an absence of mental health, institutions. And we work together. They help create some of our murals. They do personal projects with us. The feedback is really overwhelmingly positive. Like, you have men that do not speak in group that sort of come out when they work with us.
When they're putting something on paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then whatever's been, as you were describing, Salon, sort of bottled up begins to come out.
Most definitely.
Yeah. This is the experience. Like, I love to give the people the experience. Like, it's real tangible. Like, when you can look at me and stand in front of my face and know that I've been through what you already going through, it's more of a reality in their face. So I love when I be able to bring that to the table, and I love when I be able to express that through art. That's why it's more than just painting on the wall. Like, I'm here to deliver a message. I'm here to help the next person get to the next level, which I never got when I was younger. So I have a service to myself to commit to the city, and that's just my dedication to getting to the next level.
We're going to take a very short break. Get back to our conversation. That's Salon Smith, who joined us along with Eric Oakday and Jane Golden. We're talking about the Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia, celebrating its 30th year this year. And we're taking calls. In fact, we'll get some callers into the conversation at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet me at Marty Moss Cohen.
The Lehigh MBA proudly supports WHYY. Designed for working professionals, the Lehigh MBA offers the option to attend core classes on campus or live online with programs that flex with your schedule. Continue to work and travel without missing class, and stay connected with classmates and faculty from anywhere in the world. Conveniently located within commuting distance of Philadelphia and New York City. An open house will be held March 20th at 5 p.m. at the Rausch Business Center. Information and event registration details are available at lehighmba.com.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. If you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes on our show, here's your chance to find out. On a special Fresh Air broadcast, Friday, March 28th, our producers and I will answer your questions about how we put the show together. To submit your questions, go to the website whyy.org/askfreshair. That's whyy.org/askfreshair. So tell us what you want to know, then tune in March 28th.
In an era of constant distractions, one magic resource could be the secret to high performance and life fulfillment. Focus. On the next Voices in the Family with Dan Gottlieb, psychologist and journalist Daniel Goleman delves into the latest research on attention, how we can stay focused, and use self-discipline to meet our goals. Today at noon, here on WHYY-FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Jane Golden, Executive Director of the Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia. Eric Oakday is a working artist, a teaching artist with the program. He's been with Mural Arts for 16 years. And Salon Smith has been working with Mural Arts for the last couple of years. And I should add that Eric has been working with Greaterford Prison, and that's been certainly a large part of what Mural Arts is all about, which is connecting communities with art. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Emails radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at Marty Moss Cohen. We have an email from John. Would Mural Arts be interested in restoring their classic brilliance, the classic brilliance of signage on brick walls throughout Philadelphia?
Oh, my goodness, that's such a great question. We have a new program called Ghost Signs, and we're doing that with Tyler Contemporary with Rob Blackson. And this is a great partnership between Tyler and Mural Arts, where we are restoring signage, old signage, of buildings, of businesses that are there's still businesses there, and but people feel like no one knows that they're there because the signs have totally deteriorated. And with a very light touch, we are doing these restorations. We're working with Tyler students and advanced kids in our art education program, so it gives them that experience of having a job, working with the Tyler students, and then providing them with opportunities to think about Tyler in their future. So it's a win-win all the way around.
And we had a question. There's always a question when talking about Mural Arts about upkeep and just how you preserve it. Eric?
Well,
so it doesn't disappear.
Mural Arts has a portion of their budget reserved for restorations of major projects. But as an artist, speaking personally, I always kind of take a route throughout the city. I drive everywhere, so I always pass the work that I do and keep an eye on it. And whether it's mosaic or paint, if something is fading or falling off, you know, I make it a point to go out there and touch it up. And I think most artists do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that they do. They do. And that's great that you do that. And we restore about 30 large projects a year, about 25 small projects a year. Wow. And we have a committee that's chaired by a woman, Cassie Myers, who was a conservator from the Getty Museum. So we're getting all kinds of great advice about new sealers and new paints.
Are there ones that you just sort of let nature take them away?
Yes.
Or buildings get knocked down, I guess.
Buildings
too.
Get knocked down. Sometimes we lose them. But also, when we were the anti-graffiti and early Mural Arts, we did not use mural paint. So some of those murals are in terrible shape, and we have to then take them away. They go to mural heaven.
Oh,
and
really?
That's always very sad. And sometimes they're organized protests. People are like, when I see that mural, I know I'm almost home. And when you hear that kind of outrage, in a sense, about the mural going away, there's something wonderful about that. Like the fact that we have a waiting list of over 2,500 people who want work.
Like
we're in a city where people want art. And while the demand far exceeds our ability to do it, there's something ultimately thrilling about that.
Well, we have a tweet from Joe. Great joy from just passing the art. My old house has one. Thanks! Exclamation point. Thank you, Joe. Let me get Rosemary from Jenkintown to join our conversation. Rosemary, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Ben Franklin discovered the library, and Jane Golden discovered murals and did murals in Philadelphia. I've been down. I've seen them twice. I have one book that she's done, and I just think this is art. I've been an artist all my life, and this is art, real art, that is the highest goal of art.
Well, the highest goal in that people get to see it, right, and enjoy it and to live with it.
And people from prisons get to, people that have talent that otherwise wouldn't flourish.
That's right. It's shifting the paradigm about how public art has made. Yes, thank you. You have people coming out of prison. You have kids in our art ed program. You have behavioral health, our behavioral health constituents working on this. It's fantastic because it's like it's such an inclusive way of working, which takes into account everybody's creativity and role in the process. It's not art that is done to someone.
Right. You said, Eric, you've gone to some other cities to try what they're interested in, what we're doing or what you all are doing here, and they want to figure out how to do that where they are.
Most definitely. I've been to a couple of different cities and worked with organizations that are they have established Percent for Art programs and things like that, but they're really interested in this community model of mural making and want to learn as much as they can.
And how many murals have you done or been involved in?
I would estimate around 100 walls, 80,
really?
To, 80 to 100 walls, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of painting, a lot of walls. Let me get, looks like Rich from Doylestown to join our conversation. Hi, Rich, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty. I wanted to take the opportunity to pass along a compliment to Jane. I'm from Doylestown, but grew up in Philly, and I've had over the last several years the opportunity to take some of the bus tours and certainly to walk the mural arts right around your station there. Absolutely tremendous. I just wanted to pass along the compliment of it's just been spectacular.
That's and, nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
The guides who lead those tours, they know their section of the city. They know it's just so enjoyable.
That's great.
To pass that along.
Thank you, Rich. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, we're proud of our tour program. We're seeing about 12 to 15,000 visitors annually coming on the tours. It's walking tours, bicycle tours, and trolley tours. And I also like the fact that the docents point out the other great public art in the city, and because I feel like we're in really good company.
And so, on how many murals have you worked on or been involved in?
I don't know the exact number, but if I was to put it around, if I was to count around, I maybe only been on about maybe 10 to 15, mm-hmm. somewhere around in the area.
And I did tweet a picture of How We Fish, another mural, which is literally just about a minute from where we're sitting here. It's a beautiful mural that really tells an interesting history of this city.
It does. It was another one of our citywide projects that held workshops throughout Philadelphia in different neighborhoods to talk about the changing face of work and communities for families. And I partnered with a great organization called Social Impact Studios, formerly Design for Social Impact. And Ennis Carter from Social Impact and I co-designed the mural together.
And it describes, I mean, it's about the sort of industrial history, the agricultural history as
yeah.
well.
It breaks down the city into these eras of work and progress, sort of an agricultural era, right. industrial, a more merchant-based era, and then this knowledge-based future era of work. And then there's this tapestry that the hands are weaving. And the stitching hands are connected to that building because it once housed the Women's Garment Workers Union.
And for people that haven't seen the murals, I mean, many of these are huge. I mean, they cover the whole side of maybe a 3 or 4 story building.
Yeah, that's a big one right there.
That's a big one. It's a very pretty one.
As a wall hunter, I have to say that was just a fantastic wall. Yeah. But one of my colleagues, when she was thinking of that, she said that the art is choral in nature, not a series of solo areas, but it's multi-voiced and multi-layered. And I think that How We Fish is an example of that. Again, mm-hmm. we start with a question. What is the impact of work on your life?
Right.
At a time when, you know, the workforce development community was in turmoil here, and it brought together people to work together and then brought them together with people who were looking for jobs.
Let me get Christine from West Philadelphia to join us on Radio Times. Christine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi
there.
I just want to thank the Mural Arts Program for a mural that I go by every day. It's at it's on the southwest corner of 40th and Powelton Avenue, and it's an image of a little boy with his hand up in the air and a quotation. I think it's from Whitman. I am multitudes.
Mm.
And it's the most beautiful image. Every day when I go by it, if I'm, you know, really depressed and beat, looking at that mm-hmm. piece of work just really cheers me up. And I think it helps the whole neighborhood. It's just this simple, beautiful image of a little kid.
Well, Christine, Jane Golden is grinning and
thank
wants
you.
To say something.
No, I just want to say thank you so much. That means a lot.
I love it about murals, how murals could bring out that in a person. Like that's our goal, and I know that's Jane's goal. It's just this share a message through this wall. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I love about each different mural. It all brings a different message, and I like that it gets me to learn different things about that I didn't know at all, and it brings it out. It brings out a lot of history in this country, and like the workers' union that mural. Mm, I love that mural. I love what it stood for. I love the open discussions they had for the mural. I love that too, because it educates me a lot, and that's all I want to do is be educated enough to educate the next person. So I love that about the mural.
Unfair question for you: do you have a favorite mural? Perhaps it's the Family Interrupted.
It definitely would be the Family Interrupted.
Yeah. Yes. Is there one that sort of stays with you, Jane?
There's so many of them. Oh, I think, in a way, Common Threads at Broad and Spring Garden was so life-changing, and it made people realize that murals can be the same quality as work you find in galleries and museums. And it really was catalytic, and it also gave kids the dignity and respect that they truly deserve. So there's something wonderful about that. You know, when you asked before about goals, and Salon, what you said was so inspiring, our goal is really to make the world a better place. Exactly. And to use art, to have art be part of that. That's what we want to do. We're on a mission. We always say, art ignites change. Mm-hmm. And I was giving you sort of like, we want to do this. But the big goal is there all the time.
And as you say, at wall hunting, are you just constantly stalking neighborhoods and buildings looking for something?
Yeah. Yes, and it's terrible, and I do it when I go to other cities.
Like, that would look really nice.
Right.
Let me get Carol from Southampton to join us. Hi, Carol. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
First, I wanted to say that for me, Jane is one of a long line of Pennsylvania women that starts with Anna Penn that are dedicated to public service and community building. She doesn't have a halo above her head right now. She certainly should walk out of the studio with one. She's heard so many wonderful things from people, all of them well-deserved. But I wanted particularly to hear her talk a little bit about the kind of international attention that the Philadelphia Mural Projects that she's dedicated so much of her professional life to has earned for Pennsylvania and Philadelphia in particular. I've had occasion to be in other cities and have people from as far away as South Africa tell me what a remarkable city this must be to have so many murals, and that they had heard at such a far distance about the community art program and how far-reaching and widespread these mural arts are. I've had occasion to work with some of the mural artists. I've even been able to bring one of them to St. Louis to a project I'm working on, and it's just a remarkable process and one that is attracting people from all around the world to the city.
Well, Carol, I appreciate the call. I think you asked and you also answered your question, but let me give Jane a chance to respond.
I appreciate that. We are working. We've worked in Paris, Dublin, London, in Hanoi. There's a 3-mile-long all-ceramic mural about the 1,000-year history of Hanoi. Our board chair was just there last week and saw it, and it's progressing beautifully. And we get requests from hundreds of cities around the country. And I think it's really wonderful that the work is recognized internationally. We just signed an agreement to do work in a small city in Israel, Netivo, which is by the Gaza border. And that should be a very interesting project. And Eric is going to Jordan next week. So our artists also, sometimes with mural arts, sometimes without us, but they become ambassadors that are traveling all over the world. And many of our artists are gaining international reputations, and that's a fantastic thing. That's a great byproduct.
We have an email from Claudia. I'll just read the first sentence. I have great respect for the mural arts program, but I'm troubled by the anti-graffiti aspect, the assumption that graffiti is not art. And of course, this began as a program that I guess took some of those energies of graffiti artists and turned it into something else.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. But we, in 1997, when we became the mural arts program, we became a pro art program and not an anti anything. And sometimes we work with spray. Sometimes we do multidisciplinary pieces. We're working now with a group of street artists, contemporary artists who mix their materials all the time. And if you go to Center City, you'll see some gems. So we're really changing all the time how we work. This is about art making, and we don't judge. You use that, you shouldn't use that. However, I want to say that if you write on walls without permission, it's similar to breaking into my car, I don't condone that at all. If you have permission, it's a very different story. And then we want to support your artistry as much as possible. And I'm delighted to see lots of young artists coming here. In fact, in the spring of 2015, we're going to be hosting a street art, contemporary art exhibition in Philadelphia that will be international in nature.
Wow. We have Pat. Looks like Pat from Northeast Philadelphia joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Pat. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I had a quick technical question. I wanted to know, when they do the murals on cloth in the prison, or if they do like a large format art that's printed, like when they do the photographic quality faces, I believe they're printed faces, a lot of them. How they get that up on the wall? They get the canvas or cloth, and mm-hmm. cloth nylon, mm-hmm. and then what do they use for an adhesive? And then finally, how do they put coats of polyurethane, UV resistant polyurethane, to protect it from the sun and all, the ultraviolet?
Thanks, Pat. Yep.
Sure. Yeah, we use a matte gel that's provided by NovaColor to be able to install the cloth. It's a process. We put it up not unlike wallpaper, where we roll the back of the cloth and on the surface of the wall, and we have it the wall sort of gridded out in 5x5 sections, and we tile the piece up. Sometimes we work in vinyl, like you were mentioning. But believe it or not, I think a majority of the time, some of the things that you might think are printed are actually painted.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What are you working on next, Salon?
We'll be on the mass incarceration mural. I definitely want to get involved with that because that plays a lot my mission and my quest and my goal. So, you know, I would definitely get 100% when it comes time to doing this mural, bring it out, and I will be a part of a lot of discussions, which it already has been discussion already about the mass incarceration topic. I don't know the schedule, but I think we still have more topics coming up about it. Guys probably check the website mm-hmm. to see dates and times for that. But it's definitely going to be a beautiful project.
It's called Moving Beyond the Walls, and there'll be a symposium on April 15th about mm-hmm. art and criminal justice and the issue of mass incarceration, mm-hmm. and then this giant project that these two great artists are working on.
And do you ever get to paint a mural, Jane Golden?
Oh, it's so sad. You know, when my mom passed away 3 years ago, my dad sent me her watercolors, and they've been sitting on my shelf. And, you know, I haven't painted in about 15 years.
I was wondering
At
about
some
that.
Point, I just thought, oh, you know, supporting other artists is sort of my life. And I look at the whole program as a creative endeavor, and it grows in so many different ways that sort of takes up the space that I used to reserved for painting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I congratulate you on Mural Arts. Thank you very much, Jane Golden, for joining us today on Radio Times. Eric Oakday, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Salon Smith, thank you very much as well for joining us on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this note, Jane Golden will be at the Free Library of Philadelphia next week for a book reading and signing of Philadelphia Mural Arts at 30 with co-editor David Updike. And there's an exhibition of the Mural Arts program, Beyond the Paint, Philadelphia Mural Arts, in the It is currently at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts. Adam Staniszewski, our engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Bilder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us.